Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy, and Curse Code and Crown, as well as 3 event podcasts with miniseries releases scheduled at random intervals: Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's D-U-M-B. D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, initiates, to the Mythos Mysteries, a live play Pulp Cthulhu podcast where improvisers and comedians venture into dangers beyond their wildest imaginings. I am H.P. Helmfirth, your host on this journey into darkness. The Mystery Punchers barely survived their battle with the King in Yellow. Red is terribly wounded, but swore immediate revenge and wanted to attack their enemies. Richter gave Adrian a pep talk to help repair his relationship with his former boss, and Adrian was promised that they wouldn't go anywhere until he agreed to their plan. So venture forth with us, dear friends, into the Mythos.
Minus a few members, it is somewhat like old times as the Mystery Punchers sit down around a table to hash out a plan. Red, you are aching both for revenge and from pain, and your quest to finally confront Montgomery Greaves, the mayor of Helmfirth. I almost said Pawnee because I've been watching an awful lot of Parks and Rec, and that would have been a fucking disaster. You've been wanting to punch.
They won't rename Helmfirth to Pawnee for another 30 years.
Dun, dun, dun! No, man, that town's got a dark history that they allude to constantly, and like, I don't want to go there.
You'll never guess who the fish monster turns out to be.
Hello, I'm Ron Swanson. I've been living underwater for quite some time. fuck, man, I'd watch it. I'd watch any more of that content I could get my hands on. So you've been wanting to punch some answers out of the mayor, and that seems to be kind of top of mind for you. Richter, you have been, your mind has been captivated by Haster, the one who shall not be named, the avatar of which appears to be the King in Yellow. Who has disappeared. And of course, Adrian, you're very concerned that Red's going to get herself killed. You also want to know where the fuck your donkeys are, because you left him with Wackadoo Willie, who you are also highly suspicious of and have been kind of wanting to check in on. In addition to all the other things Adrian is tracking, such as, various unsolved mysteries that he cares a lot about.
And, the fish person. I got to get that fish person. Nobody cares about the fish person but Adrian. Yeah. That and Wackadoo Willie has his donkeys. Though he saw creepy stuff but failed every check, so I think he still just thinks Wackadoo Willie is his friend. He's just worried he, as a hobo, he might not be able to look after donkeys. These he are still has unsettling memories, but he got mm-hmm. one over.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm really pleased that, like, I genuinely don't remember what the donkeys actually were, and please don't tell me, so it'll come as a surprise.
Totally fair.
Have my word.
I should also point out that Miles was, like, hella cranky the first time I called Ripley a poog. We definitely both called her a poog the other day, just completely unwarranted.
It will haunt you now. That's what Freddie and I, like, Laura and I started calling Freddie that all the time. So,
well, we've been calling Ripley a snarfy pooch for, like, forever, and now she's also a snarfy poog. It's good. It builds. One day I'll get myself some donkeys, and it'll be dope. Okay, so the three of you are seated around a table in Helmforth Curiosities. This is the table you've had a few encounters on. It's a little bit worse for the wear. But again, the shop is immaculate now in a way that's deeply unsettling to Richter, because that's not what a curiosity shop is supposed to look like. Also, the time spent organizing it could have been spent studying it. So this is a fucking waste. But, you know, Nazis, they'll ruin everything you like. So you're seated around the table. Richter, do you think you would serve beverages? Would there be like tea? I know, like, Red's on the whiskey train pretty hard, and I believe told everyone to have a goddamn drink at the end of the last episode, which seems like 10 years ago in human out of game time. But was probably 2 weeks ago for you, dear listeners.
Three glasses of tap water coming up.
Good stuff.
Oh yeah.
Three distinctly different glasses of tap water. Oh. Yeah.
Okay. So you've got your tap water, Red, you've got whiskey. You and Adrian are still kind of sitting in intense silence. But if there's one thing that's always brought the mystery punchers together, it's making a good plan.
Yes.
So, my friends, I've told you what I know about what you want to do. Why don't you tell me what you actually want to do and how you'd like to try and do it?
Okay, so I'm thinking we just lay here for like a month, and then Red will feel so much better that we can go and do the mayor however.
I appreciate your concern, Adrian, and I promise that we are not going to go and storm the mayor's house right this minute, but a month is too long. Okay. Who knows what kind of damage, whatever that thing was that is now in the sewer system, can wreak on this town. They are planning something very bad. We know this.
It's a king in yellow. That is what that creature is called.
Okay, fine. The king in yellow, thank you, is planning something. They're all planning something, and I just, you're going to have to trust me on this one, gentlemen. I have a feeling that it's going to happen sooner rather than later. So, I promise I will take some time that I am not on death's metaphorical door. However, I think we should plan ahead for how we intend on getting in the mayor's house. Now, the way I do see this is we have three options ahead of us. We can shoot our way in, we can sneak our way in, or Richter can provide us with some kind of magical nonsense from this shop that can somehow get us in unseen. And frankly, I am impartial.
I don't think we've ever sneaked good. We got caught everywhere, every time, so maybe not sneak?
We seem to be reasonably stealthy. It is only when people talk to us that complications arise. If we had some way to be so sneaky that we did not have to interact with another person at all, that would be ideal, I think.
Yes, no speaking to police officers, I believe is what you're saying.
Do you have like a no talking mirror?
Yeah, I do actually, but since this place has been tidied up, I cannot find it for the life of me. This organization is not at all the way I would orient this store.
Okay, so we shoot our way in?
I mean, that's generally how I always preferred to do it in Boston.
But you always said we shouldn't go and shoot all of the police.
But from my memory, his house is guarded by gangsters, not necessarily. You have to understand that the security of this town has been taken over by this gangster.
I mean, the last time we went, it was police, though. So, and isn't the gangster the chief of police?
That doesn't not make him a bad gangster.
So we can shoot all the police, even though you said then when we had a birthday party, all the police would come and I would have to go live in a box.
I don't know, Adrian. I don't know how much they have sunk their tendrils into the regular police of this town.
I would err on the side of caution and assume that much of Helmfort's infrastructure has been compromised by these people.
Yeah, from most of your sort of observations to this point, the Donnie Splinter's mobsters have pretty much, since he became the chief of police, have pretty much taken over. And if you'll recall, the former police chief, who was no friend of yours, certainly was quite angry and upset about all this. So, yeah, it's safe to assume that the remaining cops are hella corrupt, because if they did stay, they stayed knowing they were working for a mobster.
Great. So in my experience, people who choose to stay on the side of, you know what, I'm going to call it evil at this point, deserve what's coming to them. Now, I will say, Adrian, to your concerns, having an all-out shootout with a bunch of evil cops might not be the best thing for our health. So what I might propose is we do our best to sneak in and avoid people, but shoot if necessary.
So you're promising that they won't come and ruin my birthday party?
If they try, honey, I will end them.
Okay.
So, we're agreed. We try to sneak in, and if we can't, we take care of them with other methods.
Is the mayor's home where he is most vulnerable?
I can't say.
One detail you did gather, I believe, upon returning to Helmfirth, and if not, I'll just give it to you as a freebie because it's been so long I can't remember whether I told you or not. Is that in the time since you left the mayor, and since the mayor's office was blown up by persons unknown, aka Wackadoo Willie, he has become a recluse. He's no longer seen around town, and is has kind of holed himself up Howard Hughes style in his mansion.
Okay.
But he has not been seen on the streets of Helmfirth in some time.
I have a feeling he's laying low until whatever plan he's working on gets accomplished. I think he probably understands that he has people who rightly do not appreciate what he's doing. Or he's just a coward.
Red told me that people are the most vulnerable when they're going to the bathroom. Because then they're always surprised when you kick in the door.
It's true.
It is the American phrase, how to say, catching them with their pants down. Yeah?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of the time they don't have their gun.
Because it's down on the floor with their pants. I see.
Always take your gun to the bathroom.
Wait, Richter, do you take your pants all the way off to go poo like me? People say it's weird.
When I go number five, yeah.
I love you, Grandpa.
Why wouldn't I?
When I go numbers five. Top notch, sir. Top notch. Okay. So you have a rough plan. You're going to attempt to sneak into the mayor's residence and attack him. Red, and we need to roll for luck in a second because I know you're all really hurting for that. But Red, I will say if you take 3 days worth of rest, I'll let you get back up to half HP. I want to stress, though, and there's no real rule for this, so we're playing a little bit of Calvin Ball, but might as well have been the subtitle of the show from the start. You will be a very, very vulnerable half health. So I don't want you to think about this as like, hey, I'm feeling great. I took 3 days off. It's kind of like me after an emergency coffee where I'm like, okay, we're awake, but like, we're not good. We're kind of twitchy, a little bit pale, and kind of feel hollow, like all life has been drained from us. So you're on that kind of like still very badly injured. And
I got it.
I will say that any damage will be magnified.
Okay.
As a result.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I think weirdly, even though this is obviously a meta thing, I think this is you kind of like when Red is kind of self-diagnosing how much hurt she's in, it's the kind of thing where it's like, okay, this is bad, but I bet in 3 days I'll be good enough to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Okay, so I think we should wait a month and then we can go then.
Adrian, I will give us 3 days.
Okay.
And then he turns to Grandpa Richard. He's like, I don't know what's wrong with Red. Every month is only 3 days.
Ah, well, okay.
We are 60 episodes deep, and I am still somehow astounded and delighted every time one of those drops.
Yep.
If you go back to like episode one, every time they asked Adrian to count, he can only count to three. It's one of my notes. He thinks every number is three.
Oh my God.
God. Dude,
well done. Good work, buddy. Good reincorporation. Man, that'd be like if Car Twitter showed up right now. Just a good old fashioned callback. I look left and right to ensure Car Twitter is not in my house. great. So Richter, you basically, with this plan in mind, and I'll say this is true for all of you, with the exception of Red. Red, you're very limited in what you can do in those 3 days. This is very much like a sit there and be angry that you can't do anything. But the Adrian and Richter, that does mean you have 3 days. Adrian, given the way you've been talking recently, it would seem to me that in all likelihood, you wouldn't really want to let Red out of your sight for too long in case she goes after the mayor.
Or if something dangerous happens to her, which I think is also his fear while she's like recuperating.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. And as we established, like injured Red is still a very new mode for both of you. This isn't something like it's different from being like shot in the shoulder on your way out of a crime scene as would happen prior to this to be like, oh, I'm,
oh, she cut her hand on broken glass.
Yeah, a monster tried to lay eggs in my stomach and then a nuke went off. So I'm kind of rough today is a bit of a different vibe. That said, Richter, you've got 3 days and you're hale and in good health. Also, there's no fucking way you would stick around to watch these two. That's just not a Richter thing to do. And I recall you'd wanted to do some research and to do some investigation. So how do you think you would spend your 3 days?
I'm trying to, I think Haster being mentioned by the King in Yellow is new information. And yes. I think in the moment I tried to kind of mental Rolodex, like call forth information. But I think given the time, I should research Haster to see if that helps us in any way. I can't remember what we called them, the Gotham Syndicate, the Gotham Crown.
The Gotham Crown.
Yeah. The Gotham Crown. Sorry, I'm part recapping and also part like just making sure I've got this right.
Yeah, yeah.
The Gotham Crown, we believe that the mayor is an asset to the Gotham Crown.
You know for a fact that he is.
We know that for a fact that he is. Okay.
So I can give you a quick rundown on that if you'd like, because it has been a hot second just of what you know, or do you want to recap it yourself and I'll just correct you if you miss anything?
I think I just want to...
Sure, yeah, yeah. Sorry, walk me through your process. Apologies.
So, yeah, the Gotham Crown has deployed, I can't remember his name, Jesus, the mayor.
Montgomery Greaves.
Montgomery Greaves, thank you. To become the mayor, and he's brought basically like a core team. One of them is like an architect.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is a gangster for the police force. And I think there was a third one. I can't remember. Second in command kind of.
Oh, character. It was Montgomery Greaves because it was the robot guy that was going to be mayor, but he died.
Yeah, and then Rick Chen was the architect.
Chen was the architect. Yeah,
and, so Greaves got upgraded, and the other two are still theoretically involved.
Okay,
almost like that was the plan all along.
And they are trying to bring forth, or summon forth, or revive the one who waits in the dark, the betrayed one, Croatoa, all these different names, which is different from Haster and the King in Yellow, right?
That is correct. You're not entirely certain if summoning the Croatoan is in fact the Gotham Crown's goal.
Okay. It's certainly what the Croatoan wants, based on my dream. The Croatoan wants to come back, it would seem.
Yes.
And exact revenge on those who wronged the Croatoan.
The one piece that's missing right now, Ryan, you go ahead.
I was going to say, the Croatoan is the demon that's theoretically inside our friend Little Sally in that weird torture scenario, right?
Yes.
In theory.
In theory.
Yeah, that's our theory, yes. That's not fact. That's our theory, yeah.
So the only piece that, and understandably, again, this is like a weird nuanced piece that we haven't necessarily directly addressed, but I think it'll just save some time to go over it in this way. So you know that Gotham Crown is here. Gotham Crown is definitely trying to summon something. Rick Chen is currently, Montgomery Greaves, if you'll recall, is sort of like a property magnate, like a sort of land developer. Who seems to have noticed quite a bit of potential in Helmfirth. And Rick Chen is in the process of creating what looked to be a bunch of kind of vaguely, I can't remember the name of the mad architect from Ghostbusters, that kind of thing, like basically building almost temples or power points on ley lines. So you're able to etch all that out on the map a while back.
Evil Shandor.
Thank you, Shandor. I know. I watched it happen, and honestly, I would have spent the time, but as the keeper, it would be irresponsible for me to just lean on my Ghostbusters nerddom for 5 minutes. Ivor Shandor, thank you so much. So you know that they're trying to summon something. It was fair to infer that they are trying to summon the Croatoan, as that seems to be what Pastor Michael Thomas was summoning. However, in your investigations into the Gotham Crown when you're in the Big Apple, you start to find that the entombed eye has basically been blacklisted. So their goals may not be the same as Gotham Crown goals, or they could be. You unfortunately do not have an answer to that as of yet.
Okay. So given that Father Thomas basically has appeared at both events where highly supernatural shit has taken place in the town of Helmfirth, Richter is going to research any kind of bridging material between that, whether Hester and Croatoan oppose each other, mm-hmm. are connected in any way in direct opposition to each other or like in tandem with each other or anything like that. Just where do these two circles kind of
come
together in a Venn diagram?
Great. So go ahead and roll me a... why don't we do best of three? We'll do an occult check, a library use check, and what would the third one be? Maybe a mythos check?
Straight up our slowly building mythos?
Yeah, I know that one's a low score for you, but I think we'll do best of three on those just to see
how much. I'm going to roll mythos first.
Sure.
Dum Dums and Dice would like to welcome you into a world of darkness and vampires with Blood and Syrup, a Vampire the Masquerade live play podcast featuring Ryan LaPlante as the gangster Ridley Beef, Tyler Hewitt as the conflicted detective Everett Fry, and Megan Miles as the poet Iris Dunn, with storyteller Tom McGee. Join these newly turned vampires as they try to take control of Montreal, but all is not as it seems. And as their humanity slowly slips away, they are forced into increasingly dangerous situations as the streets of the city run red with blood and sticky with syrup. Abandon hope, all ye who listen here. New episodes available weekly. Ha, ha, ha.
I rolled under my target, so that's a success.
Woo. Hey, you know, all those sanity checks are paying off, bud.
Well, I'm at 11 out of 50, so something's got to give soon. Let's do occult next. Where are you, occult? There we go. Wow, I rolled high, but that's still under. That's a success. So two regular successes so far on each one. And the last one was library use.
Yep.
Regular successes across the board.
Amazing. This does remind me we ought to deal with luck now. As you're rolling those, I realized I perhaps robbed you of a chance to succeed. And you know, you just did it. You just did it, bud. With actual human luck rather than magic
outside of the game,
luck. But let's deal with your magic game luck. So you're going to roll a standard check. You are trying to get under your I think maybe it's over. Sorry, one sec. I actually have it bookmarked.
It's under.
Okay, I can't.
You want to roll a D100? If it's over, sorry, if it's over your current luck, you add 2D10 plus 10 because you want to roll over because the idea is that you score more. If it's equal or less than your current luck, you add 1D10 plus 5.
So can I roll 2D10 plus 10 because my luck is zero?
That is correct.
Yeah, then you automatically would. You can't roll under it. You and me both, buddy.
Is everybody doing this or just...
Yep, everyone. It's the start of the session thing. And again, keeping in mind that the way we're conceiving of sessions, it's not like... It's the natural end of an arc. So this is the gain your luck back from the end of King in Yellow.
Okay, so I rolled over. So I roll 1d10 plus 10.
If you rolled over, you roll 2d10 plus 10.
Yeah, you recover more. This is the one time you want to fail.
Tom, at the risk of asking too much of your generosity, during my 3-day period of study, we don't yet know the results of what that yields, but does that act of reading up on stuff,
Buddy,
the mental reprieve as well?
It sure does.
Super.
18. Yeah. Ooh.
So, and Tom, I think during these 3 days, Adrian will have a side project, but we'll come to that after this interesting.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, interesting.
Just like a soapbox car. Just you push me just down the hill.
I invented computers. So, Claire, you can bump yourself up to half health.
Yep.
A fragile half health, but half health nevertheless.
I'm half health and half luck now.
I mean, is there a better metaphor for 2020, 2021 living?
God.
Okay, great. So you've all regained some luck. And yes, Tyler, you're absolutely correct. This would count for some sanity because you're doing the thing you love. So do you need the rules for that, I imagine?
I'm afraid I do.
Oh, it's all good, man. I got to yawn like 4 times anyway, so this really, you're doing good for me and doing good for you. We also haven't got a chance to recover sanity in a fucking age, so this is nice. While I'm looking this up, Ryan, do you want to tell us what Adrian's side hustle is?
Yeah, so Adrian has been in the back room of Richter's shop, like looking at Red through the door. And then I feel like for her, it's almost that like cartoon thing of hearing like clanging, like construction sounds and not knowing what's going on. Seeing like sparks and things. And like, yeah. It's very much the sounds that you would get in like the first Warcraft when you were building farms.
Things. Good pull.
Yeah. And at the end of the 3 days, he basically reveals when they're ready to go on their mission that he has taken his damaged armor of King Arthur and improvised repairs to it so he can sneak and be a hero in full knight armor that also has clearly had like weird steel dinner plates attached to it. Like it looks way more kitchen themed than its original form did, but he gets stabbed so many times.
Does it go over the tux or is he very much like Halloween costume over the snow suit kind of?
It goes over the suit, but his jacket has been like ripped brutally.
Just so the stretches jacket over that thing.
I think it's like when he put it on, it worked, and then he moved his arms once, so the arms are just tatters. So he has
fire, and then he put his hands down, and he just hear pop, 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 pop as all the stitches come
out.
Yeah,
it was the ta-da moment.
I was gonna say, Adrian, like, please don't make me tell you to not wear this because it's not stealthy. Like, please have a jacket that fits over it. I don't want to break his sweet, sweet heart.
I don't know. I don't know about how the armor, like obviously protects your chest, but is there enough where the bow tie just kind of sneaks out up over?
Well, yeah, because it would have that like gorget, which is like the V around the neck to drive things away. So you can like tie it around and it just sits neatly
on
its neck protector.
Okay. Excellent. Fantastic.
Do you think there would be a top hat in your store, Richter?
Not for like sale, just like one of my hats would be a top hat.
Oh, perfect. Then he also has a top hat that will sit on top of his helmet. Like he'll have like torn through the brim so that he has a knight's helm with like no face shield. I don't think it's just the helm part of it. And then it's got a top hat jammed on it. So he looks fancy.
Nice.
So we're just nixing this whole stealth thing, right?
Well, again, if we're stealthy enough, one will see it.
I was going to say,
no one will see the outrageous outfit.
Him in an outfit is not any less stealthy than him just in a tuxedo. He's a train wreck.
I'm super into this. I'm just...
Oh, no, he's the worst. I'm aware.
Yeah. All right, so Tyler, you're going to need to roll a sanity check, and if you succeed, you gain a bunch back.
Okay.
Hmm.
So I rolled way over. So that would be traditionally a fail. Because I didn't roll under my sanity.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So unfortunately, that means that you're
less sane.
You get worse. Actually, you lose 1 point and you gain a thing.
Oh no!
And you were worried about the knight's armor. Wait until Grandpa comes home with a new condition.
Yeah. I come back from the library with answers. More answers than you thought imaginable. Remember answers to questions not yet asked.
Remember when he thought he was an action hero that time at the church?
I do. Now he has to, like, his condition is like he has to shout everything.
Yeah, he has to yell his internal monologue.
Tyler, do you have a d20 handy by chance?
Yeah. Can I just give it a roll?
Yeah, please.
14.
14 team.
And Luna has claimed the official position. You don't have to worry about your chair anymore.
This is some good news bears for you. You gain an insane talent, which is from your continued exposure to the mythos and kind of leaning into it. And I think, again, going from like, is all of this, like, I believe all of this is real, but it's all beneath the surface, to like, oh no, this is just a day now. Like, you know, it's like when Jay is watching, like, as soon as he finds out aliens are in New York, and then he just stands on the street corner, he's like, oh, fucking of course aliens are in New York.
Please be close-up magic.
Oh, sadly, no. No, it's one he'll actually like.
He's so dexterous.
I know. So, Tyler, you gain insane understanding. Oh, I get it now. The hero's player may ask the keeper a question about the plot. What is the enemy doing? What does the enemy hope to achieve by? What is the best thing that we could hope to thwart the enemy's plans? What is its greatest weakness? It should be quite specific, and I should answer it honestly. It can only be used once, and then it is lost. This could not work better for this.
Jesus.
Okay, so, I'm going to say Claire and I can't help. Tyler, you got the God question, but it's on you.
Yeah. So as you're looking through the books and everything else, you kind of almost fall into a Zen state. Your mind kind of is full of everything, and you know, as fragmented as your memory has been, more and more of it's been coming back. But also, more importantly, the last kind of lingering doubts you had are gone. Not only do you have an understanding of the occult, but with your growing understanding of the mythos, you also can kind of like, your intuition is kicking in as well. The more you come to understand it, the less you have to struggle to try and figure out what's up. And all of this leads to a moment of absolute clarity. What would you like to ask?
I think it's only fair that this was in the course of me researching Hester and Croatoa.
Yeah.
That I should limit my scope to that. It would be nice to be like, what's the secret password to get into like the mayor's house or something like that. But I think... what I will ask, I think I will ask, what happened to Croatoan?
Interesting. All right. You're going to find this out in a couple episodes, but I guess we can just this.
Like, I mean, if you've got like a story that you're trying to tell,
this
I guess,
is better. Like, this is no. It's totally fine.
No, the dice said no story. Now Tom just gives facts. Don't get rid of this, Tyler. It's the only time I'll ever get a clear.
Yeah, here are some bullet points for you. Croatoa. Uh-oh, monsters. Oh, shit. There, that's your answer. It turns out a douche bro was on the other end of the phone. Okay.
Tom's secretly been an idiot the whole time.
You guys want to go watch some Dane Cook sketch? Okay. So, Richter, as you're looking through the Helmfirth Library, you finally find a book that isn't filed. And this to you stands out like a sore thumb. Because as a firm believer in the Dewey Decimal System, which I sincerely hope had been invented by this point, maybe it wasn't, but in that case, like the weird fucking write your name on a card system, who the fuck knows? This thing stands out, similar to finding the Ring VHS in a Blockbuster. It's just real fucking odd. So naturally, you pick it up. And immediately a chill sort of falls over your body as you do so, as your fingers press into the cover, and you know somehow without a doubt that this is flesh. And as you draw the book out, you see a face stretched across it. And what seems to be an unnecessarily ornate latch. But as you pull it off the shelf and kind of look at the stretched face, the latch pops off. And you immediately take it to your favorite part of the library. Where is your favorite part to read in the Helmforth? We actually haven't talked about what the Helmforth Library is like. Tyler, what do you think the Helmforth Library is like?
I think, given the general size of the town, it's two floors. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, one floor is like general, not general, but it's like, it's the majority of the popular genres and books are all there, kind of thing. And then underneath that are like archives. And I think that's it. I think it's like a fairly large floor, like a floor plan, like a large square footage, but it's a ground floor and a basement, I think. And there is a, I think just because of Richter's general antisocial nature, I think there is an agreement between him and the librarian, or maybe a custodial staff, that he has a little desk and a lamp downstairs in the archives that he can sit at, instead of one of the larger like reading tables where people can like look over your shoulder or be like, hey, what are you reading? Just like shit that Richter would not be going in for. Like if he's going to the library, it's for important things. He's not there to talk or anything like that. So yes, in the dark archives, just lit by one desk lamp, in a somewhat comfy sort of office chair.
Okay. Amazing. So you settle into this chair that you've settled into countless times before, sometimes with Benny, sometimes alone. And unlike times gone by where it was stacks of newspapers or history books that had obscure references that always felt a little bit out of place, you can tell that the tome in your hands has actual answers. And as you place it down, the cover flips open on its own. And in an immaculate hand drawn clearly in on quill, you see the words Necronomicon Ex Mortis. And then in brackets, the true history of this accursed town by H.P. Helmforth. And upon turning the page, you learn the dark secret of the Croatoan.
This episode of the Mythos Mysteries features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at the Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Claire Blackwood at Claire Blackwood on Twitter, and Keeper Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode's sound was edited and mixed by Laura Hamstra. And the Mythos Mysteries show logo was created by Decapitated Marker at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are Dark Alleys and Sentinel by Kai Engel. And our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, JAHZZAR. And all of their music is available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are dumdumdice. And on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We have merchandise available at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. All hail the mythos.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, the Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lorda Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, Taryn Hefner, Cade Peters, Richard Cranium, Christian Mendez, Anna Zed, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.